Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Our play today is going to focus on prophecies that foretold the coming of Jesus and what they mean to us. And so without any further ado, Radius Church is happy to present A Child is Born.
One such prophet was Isaiah, whom the Lord sent to King Ahaz of Judah. Ahaz was a notoriously wicked ruler who led the nation into intense idolatry and severe moral decline. As judgment for their rebellion, God sent the nations of Syria and Israel to attack Judah in an effort to lead Ahaz and the people to repent of their sins and return to God. King Ahaz was distressed. God sent Isaiah to assure Ahaz that the attack would fail. Judah would be safe. In fact, within a short space of time, the two invading kings of Syria and Israel would be no more. To prove that this would come true, God would give a sign. A lady who was a virgin at that time would give birth to a son, and she would name the child Emmanuel. Before this child would arrive at an age where he could discern right and wrong, those kings would be out of power.
Within 2 years of this prophecy, both kings of Syria and Israel were killed. The prophecy had come true. But what no one realized, probably not even Isaiah himself, was that the Emmanuel prophecy of chapter 7, verse 14, had a dual fulfillment. In the second fulfillment, was significantly greater than the first. We read about it in Matthew chapter 1 when Joseph discovers his fiancée, Mary, is pregnant. Thinking that she's been unfaithful, Joseph is contemplating on how to end the relationship without Mary being stoned for adultery. When he was asleep, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." About 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied about his birth. When Christ came into the world on that starry Bethlehem night, God came into the world. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us now. So, church, let's stand and praise him.
Thank you. nations bind. All peoples in one heart and mind. Bidden these stripes and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace.
Isaiah received another word from the Lord about the birth of Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
Love incarnate, love divine. Star of angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee. Savior of humanity, unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. No. Son of God and Son of Man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave, Christ the ever. Thank you.
Isaiah's prophecy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Not only would Jesus be God with us, he would also be king, ruling on David's throne. Jesus was to be the Messiah that would govern Israel, and that is a big reason why so many people rejected Jesus when he came the first time. The Jewish nation was looking for a powerful king who would overthrow the Roman Empire that was ruling over Israel at the time. When they saw Christ do miracles, heal the sick, and raise the dead, they thought he was the one who would free them from the Romans. What people didn't realize is that Jesus didn't come to save them from Roman domination, but to save them from their sins. Someday, Jesus will indeed rule as king, but that will happen when he comes a second time.
God revealed to Isaiah that when Christ came the first time, he would die for the sins of humanity. He prophesied that people would hate Jesus and that Christ would suffer for them. Isaiah saw Jesus being pierced with nails that came from a crucifixion, a form of punishment that wasn't invented for another century. Isaiah wrote, "He was despised and rejected by man, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. And yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus saved all people from their sin by dying in their place. He took it upon himself, God's punishment for sin, death and separation from God. That is the reason Jesus was born."
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storms with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Did you know? Thank you.
The prophet Micah lived around the same time as Isaiah. God revealed to Micah where Jesus was going to be born, a little village in the tribe of Judah. Micah prophesied in chapter 5, verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel." When the angel appeared to the shepherds who were watching their flocks at night, he said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." The shepherds then said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Bethlehem was called the city of David because that was where David was born and lived. 300 years before Micah prophesied of Bethlehem, God chose David to be king over Israel. For 3 centuries, David's descendants succeeded him on the throne. But now Micah was foretelling about a future great ruler in Israel who would come from Bethlehem just like David. Jesus was the ruler of Israel that Micah prophesied about.
One part of the Christmas story that is a mystery to many people is, how did the wise men from the east know that the star they saw was announcing the birth of Jesus? When they came to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, searching for the newly born Israeli king, the wise men said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." The star is a reference to a prophecy in the book of Numbers of one who is coming in the future. In chapter 24, verse 17, it states, "I see him, but not now. Behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." Kings rule with scepters. This was foretelling that a king would rise out of Israel and a star would be associated with him. When the prophet Daniel was taken to Babylon, God gave him the ability to know the secret dreams and to interpret them. As a result, then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all of its wise men. Bible teachers believe that when Daniel became the leader over all the wise men, he taught them the Hebrew scriptures, including the prophecy in Numbers 24. These teachings were passed down by the wise men through the ages, so that 600 years later, when Jesus was born, the wise men saw his star in the east and went in search of the newborn king of the Jews. Today, those who are wise still seek him. They know that he is the light of the world, a bright, shiny star who gives hope in the midst of darkness. Let's follow the wise men's example, and let us also seek him.
You all to stand as we sing, "O Come, Let Us Adore Him."
Come, let us adore him.
give him glory? Amen. He is worthy. You can be seated. You know, I think of all the prophecies that lead to Jesus. They talk about him. It blows me away. I heard someone say that if you took all the prophecies in the Bible that Christ fulfilled, they would, and they were like a silver dollar. You could stack the state of Wyoming 4 feet high on silver dollars, paint one of them red. The odds of finding that one, just reaching in and finding that one silver dollar out of all the others, that's the odds of Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies. It's powerful what God has done. And for the past few moments, we've been hearing about these prophecies, and while all of these were foretelling things that would happen 100 years in the future, what's interesting is that not a single one of them come close to the very first prophecy that God gave about Jesus coming. That prophecy was given by God himself shortly after creation. He had made man and woman, and the devil came and tempted them, and they gave in to temptation. They fell, they sinned. When God came and lovingly confronted them and talked to them about what they had done, he laid out some consequences to the man, to the woman, to all humanity, but then to the devil. And this is what it said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'll put hostility between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. There's a couple of interesting things about this prophecy. First, notice it says the woman's seed, not the man's seed. The reason for that is because Jesus was born of a virgin. He had no earthly father, no biological father. God was his father. As a result, Jesus did not inherit the sin nature from Adam. He was born perfect, pure, and spotless. All the rest of us, we have a sinful nature. We're born with that. For example, how many of you have kids or grandkids? Most of you here. You don't have to teach your kids how to be selfish. You have to teach them how to be sharing, how to be kind. And probably in a few moments from now or tomorrow morning as you're tearing into presents, you might hear things like, mine. You know, they see what someone else has and they, you know, I want that. Give me that. I want that. Hey, all of us, look out for number one. We have this sinful nature, and the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous, not a single one. We've all done wrong. We've maybe lied. We've been deceptive. Maybe we've been jealous or greedy. We've gotten angry. We become bitter and harbored unforgiveness in our lives. Maybe we've had impure thoughts. Whatever it is, all of us have done wrong, and the wages of sin is death. So we should die, and this is why it's so important that Jesus was the seed of the woman, because he had no sin, and he was tempted. Don't get me wrong. He was tempted on all points like we are, but he never gave in once. And as a result of that, Jesus can die for our sin. He could even be separated from God when he hung on the cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? Jesus, by being born of the virgin, he could die for our sins. But there's a second thing about this prophecy. Notice it says, he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Now, a blow to your foot is going to hurt, but it's not lethal. You might walk around, you know, with a limp for a bit, but it's not going to kill you. A blow to your head, however, that can be fatal. That can take you out. And what God was saying to the devil is that Jesus, he's going to strike your head. He is going to triumph over you. You're going to lose. And I think the devil tried to outwit that prophecy, because when the wise men came looking for Jesus, Herod said, hey, when you find the child, let me know. I want to come worship him. And if you read that story later on, you realize that Herod killed all the baby boys 2 years old and under in the Bethlehem area. Later on, when Jesus was an adult and he went around doing the miracles and healing people and telling people about God, The religious leaders turned against Jesus. Many of them did. Most of them did. Also, the people, they turned against Jesus. The devil inside of them to say, crucify him, crucify him. And Jesus died. But what the devil didn't realize is that death did not defeat Jesus, because he's the resurrection and the life. 3 days later, Christ rose from the dead, showing that he gives us victory over sin, victory over death, over hell, and over the devil. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is the champion. He defeated him on the cross, and that's what he did for us. When he rose from the dead, he showed, I can give you victory over sin, over guilt, over shame, over fear, victory over hell, victory over all the works of darkness the devil tries to throw at you. You can have a brand new life. The Apostle Paul talked about this new life in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, where he says that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What is this new life like? We've been learning about it this afternoon from the prophecies. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God so loved us, he wanted a relationship with us, and Jesus came so that God could be our friend. I know when I was growing up, even though we were very religious, we went to church, God seemed distant and far away. The thought of God being a friend, that was foreign to me. God wants to be your friend. That's what Jesus wants to do through the new life. Another part of the new life is that he is wonderful. God is good. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above. God is not bad. He has done so much for us. He is wonderful. The new life means that Jesus is our counselor. He gives us advice. He gives us wisdom. He gives us guidance. He can show us what to do, help us in making our decisions. He is also our mighty God. Just as Jesus did miracles on the earth, he can still do miracles now. And there may be some of you, maybe you're here or maybe you're watching us online, and you've got a problem, you're walking through a struggle. I want you to know that God can help you. Nothing is too difficult for him. So you can just give it to God. You can trust him with it. Maybe it's a problem that someone else has brought upon you, and you feel it's out of control, that you have no hell. You don't know what to do because they're in control. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's in control. You can trust him. Maybe it's a problem that was brought about by your own poor choices. I want you to know today that God is powerful enough that he works all things together for good. Even our mistakes, he can take them and he can bring good out of it. That's how good our God is. The prophecy of he's our Prince of Peace, the new life that we have in Jesus, you can have peace. Your emotions, there may be some of you because of the situation you're in, you're right now, you're anxious, you're fearful, you're wondering how I'm going to make it. God can give you calmness in your heart. Maybe some of you, you feel like your mind is kind of muddled. You don't have clear thinking because there's so much going on. The weight of this problem is there. But the Bible says that you can have a peace that surpasses your understanding. It guards your hearts and your minds. Jesus wants to be your Prince of Peace. There is many other places in the Bible. It says Jesus is our strength. He is our protector, our provider, our healer. He's the good shepherd who watches over you and he cares for you. And most importantly, he is our Savior. Just as the angel said to Joseph that night, you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus in the Hebrew means Jehovah saves. And what does he save us from? He will save us from our sin. You and I can have a new life that's victorious over sin, all the works of the devil. We can experience an incredible new life with God. And the way we do that is by first recognizing, why did Jesus come to earth? To save us from our sins. You know, I grew up in a church that we had to do a lot of things, and I thought if I did all these good things and I worked my way to heaven. But if I could work my way to heaven, there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. He came so that I could be forgiven. And so what I have to do is I have to admit that I'm a sinner and turn from my sin, and I turn to God and ask God to become the leader of my life. We want to give every one of you here in the house and those watching online an opportunity to have this new life in Jesus. So I'd like you just to bow your heads and close your eyes for just for a moment. How many of you here, you would say, you know, Craig, as you've been sharing, as I've been listening today, I realize that I need forgiveness for my sin. I realize that I need to turn away from it. I need God as the leader of my life. I want God to be a friend. I need a relationship with him. He seems distant. I want him to wash my sin away. I want him to be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. If you're here this afternoon and you'd say, that's me, I want you just to slip your hand up. No one looking around. This is a moment between you and God. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. There in the back. Anyone else? Anyone else, you'd say, I want that new life in Christ. Maybe you're watching online, wherever you're at, and you'd say, hey, I want that new life. I need to be forgiven. I want to give God control of my life. Just put your hand up. Anyone else in the house? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else before we move on? I love the most popular Bible verse. It says, God so loved the world, he gave his son. He loves us, and he knew that we'd be separated from him forever because of our sin, but he gave Jesus to die. Anyone else, you'd say, that's me. I want this new life Jesus gives. I'm going to say this prayer, and I would like each of you to repeat after me. No one praying alone. Father God, thank you for loving me and giving me your son. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, for leaving the perfection of heaven, and dying for my sin. I need your forgiveness. Cleanse me from all I've done wrong. I surrender my life into your control. Become my leader and my forgiver. I accept you into my life. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.